he looked nice and limber. I thought he floated over the track, and looks like he adapted to the surface real well. That's about his normal speed, so I wouldn't consider it aggressive. It was a typical gallop for him, but it was very nice.
Just for grins, Doug O'Neill puts a clock on Nyquist when he gallops. Do you ever do that with Exaggerator?
Just Doug O'Neill probably never threw a leg over a horse. He needs all the help he can get. I galloped for 25 years. I don't need a clock when I watch my horses gallop, no.
Well, he had a clock on yours, too, so I'm just curious if, from your having a leg over the horse, if you had any sort of, like, what kind of,
Doug had, well, I'm glad to know Doug is clocking my horse. He must be worried.
He said he was hiding in the bushes.
Yeah. So that's all good stuff, yeah. I'm glad to know he clocks my horse. I didn't get your question, Jenny.
Well, it was a stupid question, so let's go on to the next one. Right. I'm not afraid to take a mulligan.
Admit it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Huh?
How far did he actually gallop, just for the administrative question?
A mile and a half. He jogged off an eighth of a mile or so, galloped one lap around, and pulled up on the backside. So a mile and a half. That was a great question.
Let's try another one. What's it going to take to beat Nyquist?
Obviously, numbers-wise, horse for horse-wise, it's tough to think we can beat him, right? But I was speaking to David Grinning this morning, and the strongest attribute that Exaggerator has is his ability to recover. Mm-hmm. And as you know, this Preakness is run back in 2 weeks. That's not normal in this day and age to run a horse back that quickly. Nyquist, I think the goal was to keep him fresh by only running him twice this year, but maybe that'll backfire. Exaggerator has much more racing experience, therefore fitness, and the attribute of recovering quickly. So I think I have the fitter horse, and to tell you the truth, the fresher horse going into Saturday.
And Doug O'Neill said that Nyquist's toughest race was after the Dunmore Futurity, where he only had a 19-day turnaround. And he said that was the race that, I can't remember the one at Santa Anita that followed.
Oh,
he said
the front runner.
The front runner. He said he came out most tired after that race.
Huh,
so maybe
good.
You're saying
good. Maybe that's good news. So we're back in 2 weeks instead of 19 days, so I got him right where I want him.
I asked Doug earlier, and I'm going to ask this too. Do you feel like the horses, especially since they've raced so many times, know each other? Like, actually, literally know each other? And does Exaggerator know that he's been beaten all these times by Nyquist? Or they just don't? I'm just curious.
I'm thinking of being a real smart ass.
You should go for it, because I probably deserve it.
No, if he knows anything about Nyquist, it's the rear view. But as far as forgetting to know each other, you know, some people say that they size each other up in the paddock and maybe warming up. If that's the case, then I can tell you from a horseman's perspective that Exaggerator does not have one nervous bone in his body about looking Nyquist in the eye. There are some horses that get nervous. If you watch the Derby paddock scene, this horse Whitmore and Lonnie and a few other ones just lost their crackers, sweating up and freezing up. And I told my owner leaving the paddock in Kentucky, I said, Matt, what you see here, you can't teach. Your horse has got class to the bone. excuse me. And we can't get him any better. The bad news is Nyquist is just as cool and calm. So those are two very classy horses, and they're not fearful of each other at all.
Is there anything tactically that you can do differently, or this horse has just one particular style, and you stick with his strength?
Again, we were talking about that this morning. This horse won the Saratoga Special, 6.5, sitting a length off the lead, turning for home. He's got all the speed you want. He broke his maiden going 5/8. It's pretty cool that a horse that fast is also that smart. He can control his speed. That's my job as a trainer, is to teach him to relax, teach him to respect the rider's commands. And the fact that Exaggerator does that shows his class. Now, I don't care if he's 5 lengths off or 15 lengths off, just as long as he's comfortable. That's a jockey's department, not mine. My job is to teach him to relax. Kent's job is to judge pace.
How much do you all huddle and discuss that?
What I just told you is as simple as the directions are going to be. Where he sits in the race is not a concern with me as long as he's comfortable. And comfortable usually means clipping off 8s and 12, 12 and 1. So sounds easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, from my side. Yeah.
Of all the times you've run against Nyquist, when you look back on those races with Zweifel, was there one time you thought you had him?
Totally thought I had him nailed in two races. One, the one with Swipe, I knew I had him in the front runner. Mm-hmm. Swipe came through on the inside and was running as though he had him measured. And Kent, I could tell, still had horse left. And Nyquist dug down the last eighth and held us at bay. The other race where I was even more confident that I had him beat, I mean, I knew it was over, was in the San Vicente at 7/8. And Nyquist, not only was I confident in the way Exaggerator was training, and I knew that Exaggerator was probably a little better than Swipe, and this was the first time he hooks up with Nyquist. I had that confidence going in, but when the race started and Nyquist set the pace in 44 and 2, if I may recall, I said, this race is in the bag. Because Exaggerator's sitting right off of him, just waiting to pounce. And when you set a pace like that, I don't care if it's Santa Anita, speed-favoring track or not, they usually come back, and he rebroke. We hooked him. We got to his throat latch, and he rebroke. I mean, the horse is just a good horse, period.
So many of the Derby, especially these days, I don't know why, but so many of the people who run in the Kentucky Derby do not even entertain the thought of coming back and running in 2 weeks in the Preakness. Was there any hesitation on your thought at all about not coming to this race?
Not at all. And it goes back to my original answer in how am I going to turn the tables. Exaggerator's best attribute is his ability to recover. So I knew that before the race. So when he ran the great race in the Derby, I knew we were coming here. Why not? It's fun. It's competition. It's the Triple Crown. Plus, I needed to get here and rehash some old memories. I haven't been here since 91.
Wow. So what is your thought since you haven't been here in what's 9 plus 16, 25 years? I mean,
where's the barns? There used to be barns all the way the whole walk to the gap. Yeah. So that's the main change.
They fell down.
Yeah, really?
Hey.
But
it's true.
I haven't really been around much yet, but I'm getting a little... a flood of emotions that I haven't figured out yet.
Go ahead.
I was gonna ask, what's the last race you recall running in here? Were you training on your own at that point, or were you still?
I can guarantee the word steak was not involved in that era. The last race I ran in, I left in the spring of 91 and went back to Louisiana Downs. So I guess the meet was just starting here, but I don't recall what the last race was.
But you actually started training on your own here.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I was assistant trainer for Charlie Hadry for a couple of years and went on my own in 90, which was way too soon, but that's a whole nother story.
But with a good horseman anyway, you got some good experience under him.
Yeah, learned a lot from Charlie and probably should have stayed a lot longer. That's what I'm saying. There was a lot more learning to do. I should have stayed and acquired more experience before going out on my own. But there's no regrets. I learned the hard way, worked in the trenches for years, and it's taught me to be the horseman that I am now.
Matt's talked about how you train horses to come from behind, and that's just sort of your style of training. I'm trying to come up with a question for that.
I can elaborate on that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily.
Thank you.
Why do you do
thank
that?
You.
I don't necessarily train horses to come from behind. I train horses to listen to the rider. I train horses to relax. If a horse has natural speed, that would be the dumbest thing in the world for me to do, is take that away from him. So I have plenty of horses that run close to the pace, but in general, my horses do come off the pace because I primarily teach to relax.
Seems like we might, just from judging by what I'm listening to here, that we might see different tactics this race. I know you're saying leave it up to Kent, but it sounds like it's in the back of your head anyway, that it'll be a
not
better
at all. I don't know how that came about. I don't.
In my head, you mean?
Yeah. I don't see a change in tactics. Again, it's all. Matter of fact, now that you say that, I'm going to make sure I rehearse with Kent that I do not want a preconceived change of tactics. It's his job to just relax, judge the pace. If exaggerator's gone in 12s, 12s and 1, 12 and 1, that's all we need. If you add that up, that adds up to a mile and a quarter in 2 minutes flat, 12-second eights. If he accomplishes that, he'll win all the races he wants, including the Preakness.
What are your brother's greatest attributes as a rider?
I just said it. He's in the Hall of Fame because he knows how to judge pace. Great riders are not the ones that can hit the hardest or the lightest or the strongest. It's the riders that can get a horse to settle, and they have a gift of judging pace. While you're on a 1,100-pound animal rambling with 10 other horses around you, you have to get your horse to settle and judge a pace of 12s, 12 and change.